Good morning. You're listening to Mountain Money on KPCW. It's Monday, January 8th, our first show of 2018. I'm Renee Bodley-Miller here with my co-host, Doug Wells. Happy New Year, Doug.
You know, we're the last few Mondays were holidays, so we've missed two shows. So it's good to be back in the studio.
Could be an exciting show. We might be a little out of practice. So listeners, stay tuned. Some wacky things may be coming your way.
It's chock full. Do we have some great guests today?
We do have some great guests. We're going to start with Jesse Meekham. He is the author of the book, You Need a Budget, The Proven System for Breaking the Paycheck to Paycheck Cycle, Getting Out of Debt and Living the Life You Want. Fiscal resolutions are always a big thing at the start of the year. Another big resolution, physical fitness. We have Stanton Jones. He's with the Silver Mountain Sports Club. He'll be here as well.
Yeah, and we have two other guests. We also have Brent Amsbury. He's with Park City Ski Boot. We're going to find out what you need to know to get the perfect ski boots. And then we have Jack Rubin. He is a vice president, and he's on the board of directors of Park City Country Club. We're going to find out what's going on at the, Park Meadows Country Club. We're going to find out what's new there and what people have to look forward to this spring. You're listening to Mountain Money on KPCW. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Tom Pettigrew from Park City Mountain and a proud supporter of KPCW. Park City Mountain instructors share their love of skiing and snowboarding with guests, helping them improve their skills and enjoy the mountain. More information on Ski and Snowboard School and other programs at parkcitymountain.com.
Matt here from San Francisco Design. Since the start of our business in 1990, we have been supporting KPCW. We offer home decor for Park City and Salt Lake and feature modern furnishings from around the world. Whether you're looking to furnish an entire home or just redecorating a single room, we can help with our in-house design team. Located on Bonanza Drive and on the web at sanfrandesign.com.
Welcome back to Mountain Money. The time is 9:08. Our first guest, Jesse Meekham, author of You Need a Budget. Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Now, you're joining us from right here in Utah, aren't you?
Well, I live there, yes. I live down in Utah County, but I'm currently in Manhattan, actually, as part of the book promotion and just to give my six kids and wife a pretty crazy experience. So we're out here for a little bit.
A crazy experience and some pretty cold weather out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what's funny? They pretend it's just about the world's about to end out here when snow falls. But having lived in Utah, I looked out my window the other day when the news was breaking news all the time about this cold, and it looked pretty mild. And I feel like maybe it's a little skewed when it gets to snowfall reporting versus what we deal with out there in Utah. But it was fun nonetheless.
Well, let's cut right to it. In case our listeners think, is this really a problem? Are Americans really living paycheck to paycheck? The answer is yes. The Federal Reserve does an annual survey. And just recently, 47% of the respondents said that they could not pay for a $400 emergency. They would have to cover that expense by borrowing or selling something, or they would not be able to come up with $400 at all. That's pretty shocking. So you wrote a book about how to break the paycheck to paycheck cycle. Let's start with, why did you write the book?
Yeah, so I've been teaching a four-rule method for people to kind of help them rethink their money and be a little more intentional with it. And we've been doing that since 2004. So I've been at it for a while, and we've taught thousands and thousands of people through free online workshops and things like that. But about 2 years ago, I realized I really wanted to get everything we had learned into a book format and have it be more approachable for people, where they could pick up the book and just kind of at their own pace take it in and decide what kind of action they wanted to take.
So, Jesse, first off, thanks for writing the book. I think it's an important topic. I work in this industry as well. We're primarily dealing with high net worth families, but we also, on a pro bono basis, work with folks that need help. And it is scary for a lot of folks, just how paycheck to paycheck they are living their lives, and how one small unexpected expense can really derail them in bad ways. So thank you for the book. I think there's some great advice in the book. Why do you think it's so hard for people to get going? It's one of these things, like, we all know we should get 7 or 8 hours of sleep. We all know we should be working out. Why is budgeting so hard to put into practice?
I think probably the first reason, you might see this in your work, even with well-heeled clients, a budget seems like it will mean that you can't ever have fun again. It when you hear budget, you think about deprivation, dieting, maybe prison. And so if you have someone say, hey, you need a prison, they're not going to respond very favorably. They're kind of going to drag their feet. And so the first thing to do is to reframe what a budget means, you know, what that is. And that usually will get people to decide, oh, actually, I want to try that. I want to take some action.
Well, let's start there. That's what I want to talk about. How do we get over this phobia, this fear, this reluctance to budget?
Yeah. So a budget is really just a plan for your money. If you decide what you want your life to look like, your budget should just be an outline of what your money will do in order to help you achieve that life. And we start people with a very, very simple question, whether they're very well off or they're, you know, living paycheck to paycheck. It's the same approach. You say, how much money do you have on hand in your checking account right now, whether it's $300 or $30,000? And then you ask those people, what should this money do before you are paid again? What do you want it to do? And when people start to answer just that very basic question, they start to give intention to those dollars that they have on hand. They feel in control and they feel at peace. And it's not because they've changed anything about their finances. They've just begun to take that first step of taking control, and it feels very good. And then when new money comes in, we'll do that same process again. What should this money do before you're paid again? And we just follow that same cycle. We have our four rules to help people kind of have a framework around how they make decisions. And when they feel that control and they feel that peace that comes from money lining up with what they actually want it to do, it starts to become a really positive thing, and people look forward to it. They even start to call it a game, which is a pretty good thing for budgeting.
And deciding what you want your money to do is the first of your four rules. And then the second one you had was, we broke up larger, less frequent expenses into manageable monthly bills. Can you give us an example of that?
Yeah, the best example right now would be to talk about the holidays, because we just went through them. And, Christmas comes every year on the same day, and yet we all act really surprised that we suddenly have some expenses to crop up. And so what I would have everyone do that's listening is to decide right now, what do I want to spend on Christmas? Maybe look back at the prior couple months and see what you did. And for easy math, let's say you decided, I'm going to spend $1,200 on Christmas, you know, more food for family. We're going to maybe drive a little more to go visit people. We're going to buy gifts and things like that. And just all the expenses that come into that. $1,200, divide that by 12, you get $100 a month, and you have a Christmas bill. So if you were to be sent a bill from your future self that says, hey, you owe me $100, you would just set that money aside. And then 12 months from now, you'll have that $1,200 sitting there. And suddenly Christmas is just one other thing that happens throughout the year. It's not an emergency. It's not a crisis. It's just a little bit of forethought and kind of setting up that future version of yourself.
And of course, what derails people on this is the ability, the easy availability of credit for folks.
Oh, yeah.
And debt can become a huge issue, right? It's easy to overspend. It's easy to not plan on, gee, my car insurance is due in July. And you put it on your credit card, and before you know it, you're paying 18-24% on money. You've got a chapter on eliminating debt. Give us some helpful hints there.
Yeah, so the key is, when you've established what your priorities are, most people won't say, oh, one of my priorities is to make sure I max out my credit card. They just don't. No one does that. And so when you've got your priorities right and the money going along those priorities, when you see what debt is doing to your budget, it's basically not allowing you to follow that first rule. It's saying, no, some of that money that you want to give these jobs, you can't do that because we're going to take it off the top. And so debt really constrains the budget from doing what it's really meant to do, which is to support the lifestyle that you want. The best thing you can do is just get all of your money followed and lined up, and you'll find most people that we work with, I'd say about 90%, will find extra money in their budget, not because they're stopping their spending or they're saying, I should never do this or I should never do that, only because they've found extra when money is going to what they truly want, and not toward things that they don't really care about. They can then use that money to pay down debt. And there are all sorts of strategies you can use. The key is to send money to that debt as fast as you can and free up that cash flow for budgeting in the future.
And your third rule is, we changed our budget as needed. Now, I kind of laughed a little bit when I saw that, because I thought, well, this requires a lot of planning, a lot of discipline, a lot of willpower, but yet you're telling me I can change my budget too?
Absolutely. Yeah. Think of it more like a grandmaster playing chess. So they might start with their pawn that's in front of their king and move it up two spaces. And then however their opponent responds, they'll play differently. And when we do budgeting, we're not doing this crystal ball or spitwad type thing, where we're just saying, okay, I'm going to just foresee the future here and it'll be just like this. That will never happen. What we're doing is just saying, given the information I have right now, what would be the best use of my money? And you set up your plan. And then a day or two goes by and you find out all of your in-laws are coming for dinner and you don't have enough groceries. You would then adjust your plan. It's not because budgeting doesn't work. It's not because you were bad. It just means now you have new information and you use that information to inform your new plan. So a budget is a living, breathing thing. It's fluid. And it's always just about you going back to that core of what do I want my money to do? Is it in line with my priorities? Are things all checked off? Am I balanced in my approach? Is this a sustainable plan? All of those things go into that. But it's very much just like a coach making halftime adjustments. Things happen and you just adjust and keep moving.
Yeah, Jesse, I think that flexibility is key, right? Because if you don't have that, people are going to be, they're going to feel like they didn't succeed and then they're going to stop budgeting. In fact, you have a chapter that talks about, you know, how to keep going, you know, the risk, the potential of quitting and how to avoid that. And, you know, my experience is people fall into two camps. They're either, well, really three camps. They're either not interested in it at all, and you're probably never going to get them to start budgeting. And then, surprisingly, you have these people that are just really passionate about it and love budgeting and go into detail. And then you have the middle group, which fortunately is like 80% of us. And how do you keep the 80%, the folks that see the benefit of budgeting, but there is work involved? How do you keep them going, and what about when they feel like quitting?
Yeah, one thing you want to make sure is when people are first starting, you don't want them to suddenly adopt this mentality that their budget should be perfect. It's almost like if I decided I wanted to become a better swimmer, I would use Michael Phelps as my benchmark. And that's just not reasonable. And so we want to make sure that we set reasonable starting points for ourselves. And when we set realistic spending targets that we realize, I can fudge a little on this. There's room to maneuver. That's the first thing that'll really get people. It's just they experience a little bit of, you know, quote unquote failure, and then they realize, oh, this doesn't work. The other one is that they aren't necessarily letting the budget do anything fun for them. And so I would encourage people to make sure they're budgeting for fun things, like save up for that vacation, save up for that little overnight trip, save up for that new putter or whatever it is. I guess in the winter you wouldn't really, but maybe if it's an expensive putter, you'd start early. So you save up for those things and then have the budget enable you to purchase those things and have those experiences guilt-free. If people can kind of have that taste, then they'll realize, okay, budgeting is something that serves me. It's not just this, you know, ankle weight that I have to wear around everywhere.
And Jesse, we mentioned four rules. The fourth is we only spend money that was at least 30 days old. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so we don't mean the actual age of that dollar bill, you know, when it came into circulation, but we mean the day that you earned that dollar, that it came in, how many days elapsed before you spent that dollar? And people living paycheck to paycheck, they earn a dollar today, they'll spend the dollar tomorrow, and I've been there, and it's a stressful place to be. But you can get to a point where the money you earn today, you won't need for about 30 days or so. And it reduces your stress dramatically, and it gives you time to come up with the best decision, the best plan when life comes at you and, you know, emergencies strike. It just gives you opportunity to adjust as needed. So it's something that happens almost automatically as people follow our first three rules. They just suddenly realize, oh gosh, I have a pile of money waiting for bills to arrive instead of a pile of bills waiting for my money to arrive. And once you live there, you realize, you know, it's kind of, gosh, how did I ever do it any other way?
Well, that's a great note for us to wrap up on, having a pile of money waiting for the bills to arrive as opposed to the other way around. Our guest this morning has been Jesse Meacham. He is the author of You Need a Budget. Jesse, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And stay tuned to Mound Money. Up next, we have Stanton Jones with Silver Mountain Sports Club.
This is Matt Mitten, attorney with Jones Waldo, a Park City law firm. Longtime supporters of KPCW, our firm provides estate planning and other personal legal services to residents of Summit County and beyond. We are online at joneswaldo.com and 435-200-0085.
Joining the Park City Chamber Bureau provides your business with lots of benefits, from business-to-business networking and promotional opportunities to access to our 1,000-plus membership database. Becoming a member of the Park City Chamber Bureau is a great investment for your business. Information on joining is online at visitparkcity.com or call us at 649-6100. The Park City Chamber Bureau is a nonprofit, membership-based organization and a proud KPCW supporter.
Welcome back to Mountain Money. There's a couple of New Year's resolutions that are on many people's minds. One is to start budgeting. We talked about that. The other is to spend more time on ourselves and making ourselves physically the best version of ourselves that we can be. And on that topic, we have Stanton Jones in the studio with Silver Mountain Sports Club. Welcome, Stanton.
Great to be here. Thank you.
You've got a new program kicking off today, don't you, at the
gym? We do. Today is the first day of New Year, New You. And the great news is that it's a six-week program, so if somebody came in and signed up even later this week, there's plenty of time to take advantage of it. But it's a really fun program that we do at the club. Everyone wants to have a personal trainer, but not everybody can afford to have a personal trainer. And so this is a group personal training experience that we offer to non-members and members alike. What you get to do is we're going to have 10 sessions a week. Every day there's at least two sessions, and you can choose from any session that you want to come to. You can go to one, you can go to two, you can go to all 10 if you want, and get in shape. But it comes with a lot of really cool things. The New Year, New You program offers about $2,000 worth of free stuff with your payment to enroll in it.
Nice you've got something with a chiropractor, right? So if someone's maybe feeling like they just are a little off, there's a tweak that needs to happen, but they want to start an exercise routine as well, but they don't want to, I guess, exacerbate whatever's wrong with them, you can kind of get them lined up and started right.
And our chiropractor is a sports chiropractor, and so he specializes in alignments, and it's amazing how you can lay on a table, and he can look at your spine and look at how your legs and arms are, just hanging, and say, oh, we need to just do a little bit of tweaking here.
And stretching too, right?
And there's a stretch session that comes with the program as well. And that's really amazing. I participated in this about a month ago, and it was amazing how great you feel after you've been stretched by somebody else instead of doing it yourself, and they stretch you. And all of a sudden, your body feels so much better just by being stretched. It's really quite fantastic.
Yeah, stretching is something that people forget about. Another thing that's often overlooked but is a real big part of the equation is nutrition. I see you have some sessions with a nutritionist. Tell us about that.
Part of the program, there's a three-part program with nutrition. You know, a lot of people will say sometimes when you're trying to get your body in better physical form, nutrition is a huge part of it, and some will say it's even 75% of what you put in your mouth. And so nutrition is super important, because if you keep going to the drive-thrus, no matter how much you work out, we're not going to be able to help you, or you're not going to be able to help yourself. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important that you start taking care of your body, not only what you do with your body, but what you put into your body. And so the nutrition is a big part of it. And something, Renee, you might really enjoy is a big part of this is you get two free spa treatments. It could be a facial, it could be a massage, but it comes, you know, this, and I'm not afraid to say the price of this. It's $399 for members and $549 for non-members. And that non-member includes a six-week membership. So, and for $549, you get a six-week membership, you get two free spa treatments, you get 60 training sessions to choose from, you get a free evaluation with a chiropractor, you get a free stretching session, you get a nutritionist segment. But the other thing too, the DEXA body fat scans. I'm going to, at 4:45, you'll find me getting my body fat scanned.
Well, when you said there was one part that I would enjoy, I was about to chime in and say, it's not the body fat scan. I mean, yeah. I'd hate to go through that, but what I like about that, Stanton, is that it holds you accountable. If you know you're getting one before you kick in this whole exercise program, and then one 6 weeks later, That's some pretty good motivation.
And that's what it is. And it's a really high-tech scan. It only takes 15 minutes. Oh. And it gives you a good reading on how your body is. And then in 6 weeks, I'm going to get it done again and see how I did.
How do they do it? How do they scan for
you
fat?
You know, I haven't done it yet, so I can't even tell you. But it's quite a...
Do you get in a water tank or something?
No, I don't think you get in a water tank. But there is a machine that they bring in, and they... hook you up, and it's pretty unobtrusive, but it's pretty nice.
You'll have to fill us in. Maybe they get those pinchers out and they pinch you like underneath your arm and around your
it's
waist.
It's more high tech than the pinchers. I've done the pincher technique before.
So Stanton, you've been in the health club business for a long time. You've seen Januarys come and go. What is it about the people that set these New Year's resolutions, not the regulars that are always coming, but the people that are new? What is it about the people that succeed with that you've seen?
Well, you know, it's interesting you ask me that, because when I first got into this business back in 98, I thought, okay, New Year's resolutions is going to be a big deal in Park City. But in Park City, people are so health conscious that we don't get a big insurge. It's not our biggest month. Our biggest month is October, when people are trying to get ready for ski season, and November. January is actually just a regular month for us because of that. But there are people that still have that old mindset of getting into the groove of you know, refreshing themselves and recommitting themselves. The important thing is consistency. And that's why with this program, we have 10 classes to choose from over the next 6 weeks. And for example, I was going to go to an 8:30 session this morning myself, but then I thought, oh, I can't, because I've got to be up here at 9 o'clock. But that's okay, because there's a 5:45 session tonight. There's a session tomorrow morning. And it's to push yourself to be consistent, because they say if you do anything for 21 days, you can create a habit. And I think fitness is so important to create that habit of getting your heartbeat up for 45 minutes a day and getting it pushing that heartbeat to 75% of its max. And it's so important for lifestyle. You know, our slogan is be stronger, live healthy, play longer. And it's so important to be strong in your lifestyle and be healthy and be able to do things with your children, with your dog, with your friends. And so we're all about living a healthier lifestyle and living a long life comfortably.
And Stanton, you've been with Silver Mountain Sports Clubs for how long?
Since
1998. So you have seen fitness trends come and go. And we all see them, the pop-ups, you know, the latest craze is Orange Theory. Then CrossFit's been a big deal. Then Bar Fitness has been a big deal. How does your business model kind of outlast all of these other fitness trends that come and go?
Well, and I appreciate you asking that, because we are a club that is a full-service club. We have everything somebody would want. And so with our club, instead of spending $30 for a one-class shot somewhere, you can spend $77 or get it down to even $50, depending on what group you're in, and you can get 86 classes a week that's included. We have the bar, we have the yoga, we have the spin, we have the, you hook up your heart rate monitor and it shows what zone you're in. We have all of those things, plus we have heated pools year-round. We have the only racquetball court in Park City. We have a plyometric area where you can go in and do a CrossFit workout if you want. We have a huge free weight area. You can do anything at any time of the day. Plus, we're open from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. So there's a lot of opportunity for somebody just to drop in, get a 30-minute workout, and leave.
And you have two locations?
We have two locations. We have one that's at Kimball Junction. That's right across from the Holiday Inn Express in the Silver Mountain building. And then we have what we call the Mothership, which is the one that's here in town, that's right next to, across the street from the Grubsteak, and it's right up against the rail trail, and it's a nice large facility. Both clubs have heated lap pools year-round, so, and hot tubs.
Oh, both clubs do?
Both clubs do. Both clubs have steam and saunas, and so there's a lot of opportunity for people to come in, and no matter what you want to do, we should have what you want to do at most any time.
So Stanton, a lot of amenities there. So we're a business show, and I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you this question, but feel free to pass on it if you want. But I think most people never think of the health club industry in this light. it's one of the few industries that local governments feel very free to compete with. And it's bizarre, right? I mean, if Park City decided to open up a coffee shop, I think, you know, our local coffee roasters would come in and say, hey, that's not right. But for whatever reason, there's kind of a pass when it comes to the fitness space. I'm talking about Basin Rec and PC Mark, which are great places. I love them. But as a business owner, I wondered if you had some comments you wanted to share on that.
Well, sure. It's pretty disheartening when you pay tax dollars, and we just got through paying our $140,000 real estate taxes. And it's hard to monetize things like that when your government takes your taxes and goes out and competes directly with you. If the people in Park City really want to support local, they would come to the Silver Mountain Sports Club or any non-government oriented facility, because the government facilities, the rec centers, they're subsidized. They don't need to monetize. We just did a $3 million renovation in Prospector. I'm going to be living with that $3 million for the next 30 years, trying to pay it off. They just did a $13 million or $12 million renovation, and it's done. They don't have to carry that on their books. They don't have to do anything with that. They don't pay taxes on their equipment. They don't have to do anything tax-related. All my tax dollars go to them. So, you know, we don't cry about it. It's unfair, but it's something that we live with. It's the nature of the beast. And so we try to create a great country club-like atmosphere. We have customer service that they don't have. We have a community of belonging that they don't have. And so we look at the positives of what can we do differently than they can do. They can have the same equipment that we can have, but you don't have the same feeling when you walk through the door of their facility as you do when you walk through the door of ours. We have the year-round water. We have the year-round steam and saunas and indoor hot tubs that they don't have. So we have a lot of things that they can't offer because we care about customer service and we push for making people feel special when they come in. We memorize people's names when they come in and out and thank them for coming. And so it's a different experience, but it is an unfair competitive environment from a business standpoint, certainly. And I wish I could do something about it, but the governments like to empire build and create these big spaces.
And speaking of making people feel good, the spa is there, the Prospector facility. And do members of Silver Mountain Sports Club get a benefit at the spa as well?
They do. There's usually discounts for members as they come in. We're known as the local spa and salon, where even non-members can come in and use the facility at reduced rates than they would get at a normal spa and salon in Park City. So it's a real active, busy spa. You can really have any kind of treatment you want in that spa and salon.
I have one more question for you. It just occurred to me that our listeners may be wondering this as well. Park City Television, you are out of the television business now.
I'm officially out of the TV business. However, I'm heavily involved for the next 4.5 years. I work with them every day to help them be successful, but officially I have no operating responsibilities for the station, which is nice for me because my office is now at the health club, so I have no excuse not to be fit. And one last thing to say about the New Year, New You program, anybody can walk in today, tomorrow, anytime this week and sign up for it. It's $549. You get $2,000 worth of different things with that investment. But I hope that people will invest in themselves and take advantage of this program. It's a 6-week program. It's very flexible. And there's a lot of free stuff that comes with it that I think people will really find a lot of value in.
Okay. The program's New Year, New You. There's a lot of free stuff that comes with the program. Parkites like that, including myself. Stan Jones, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Doug and Renee.
And stay tuned to Mound Money. In studio next is Brent Armsbury with Park City Ski Boot.
This is Ryan Hoffman, manager at Mountain West Bank, sponsor of KPCW. We're a community bank with a great understanding of our local needs. Mountain West Bank has something unheard of nowadays, but I can't say it on the radio. We're next to the movies near Kearns Boulevard at 649-3369. Division of Glacier Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Cookies on Fridays!
Hi, I'm Margaret Schneider of Schneider Autocrossery Body and Paint. Delighted to support KPCW. Located just down the canyon in Salt Lake, we've been repairing damaged cars and getting people back on the road since 1984. We work with all insurance companies. We're open Monday through Friday in Salt Lake. Details, services, and more info at schneiderauto.net.
Welcome back to Mountain Money. In studio with us now is Brent Amsbury. He is with Park City Ski Boot. We're supposed to have some winter snow coming here, so hopefully business starts picking up again. Brent, welcome to Mountain Money.
Hey, thank you. Good morning.
So I teach a handful of days out of Deer Valley, and occasionally a client will ask me, you know, what brand of ski boot should I buy? You know, what's the best ski boot? And what I'll tell them is the question you should be asking me is, who's a good boot fitter that I can recommend to you? How should people go about buying ski boots?
Well, a boot fitter is important, of course, because if they've got the background and the knowledge of how a brand fits in a particular way, they can apply that to the foot type that they're seeing in front of them. And we don't promote a brand per se. We promote a fit process. Right, doing the proper measuring, understanding the biomechanics of the foot, getting a history of that particular person about maybe they have chronic foot issues, plantar fasciitis, which is very common with people, and with people who do a lot of running, a lot of activities, they can get a lot of foot pain, and a ski boot doesn't really make it better. So if we get that background and that history, we can understand how to modify that boot appropriately to get it to fit and feel comfortable and secure all day long.
And we had you on the show back in August, and I was listening to that interview this morning because I wasn't here, but I heard you talk a lot about volume in a boot. And that made a lot of sense to me because it feels like my foot's just swimming around in a boot, but yet the boot person I worked with said, oh, you're going to be fine. And I thought, aha, I'm not.
Yeah, volume is really important in a ski boot because your foot takes up a certain amount of space inside a contained shell. It's not like a shoe. Most people are used to buying shoes where they just base it off length, and then the shoe sort of adjusts to what shape their foot is because it's soft and pliable. Ski boots are not that way. They're hard. They may have a soft liner, but essentially the shell is hard. And so the volume aspect of the boot is so important. If you've got a what we call high volume foot, maybe wider and a higher instep, it's going to have a lot of trouble fitting in a boot that's considered more narrow and low profile. So that volume aspect is really, really important. And manufacturers have done a great job of attending to that volume question. They make low volume boots, mid volume boots, and high volume boots now. So every manufacturer has essentially, in what we would consider in the shoe world, a narrow, a medium, and a wide.
So I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, and I started skiing when I was in second grade. And when we go buy our ski boots, it was, what size shoe do you wear? You know, here's four or five boxes, which one feels the best? And then you buy one, right? Or in that case, my parents bought it for me. When I moved to Park City and was buying ski boots, I was shocked because the boot buying process started with 5 or 10 minutes about, tell me about yourself, tell me what kind of skiing, followed by another 5 to 10 minutes of examining my foot before anything was brought out. Tell our audience, is that what the boot buying process should be like? What should people expect when they're going to somebody that's a professional on boot fitting when they're selecting a boot?
Well, the boot fitter should not only ask questions about your background, your skiing ability, who you are as a skier, but go through a process of measuring your foot length, your foot volume, your ankle range of motion, any sort of forefoot issues in terms of, is there an imbalance, and get a complete picture of how your foot actually operates. And then take that information and turn it into a selection of maybe 2 or 3 different models, and then get that foot in there and start examining how does that foot reflect itself onto the shell itself. They take the liner out and look inside and really analyze which boot is going to end up being the most likely candidate to be the best starting point for your foot. It doesn't mean the boot may fit perfectly out of the box. It may need further modification, but you need to start at a good baseline where that foot is really well connected to the ankle pocket of the boot. It's connected in the forefoot. It's properly fit in the upper calf, so it's not too loose or not too tight. But if things need to be changed, then those changes are actually fairly easy than if you're starting off with a ski boot that's really off the mark and it would require like a complete makeover to try to make it fit. And that can be a really tough, tedious process that most people don't want to go through.
But Brent, if someone's listening to you talk about this and they think, well, I just shelled out megabucks at the start of the season for a pair of ski boots. They're just not working for me. I think something's wrong. You can work with that same pair of boots, right, and help to fit them better?
To a certain point. If it's just a bad mismatch, it's the wrong size, the wrong shape all the way around, even the best boot fitter is going to find that very challenging. Better just to dump it and start over and start with the right shell. But in many cases still, there are people come in and the ankle doesn't fit right, or the width is not quite right, or there's a hot spot. Those can be resolved. It's not very difficult to get those boots reshaped properly.
And if somebody has a boot that they love, but it's a couple seasons old, they ski a lot, are they better off just to get a new liner, or what are their options?
If the boot shell's in good shape, the plastic, the buckles are functioning well, and the ski boot is not too old, then yes, you can replace the liner, get some new orthotics put in there, maybe a couple other modifications, and you breathe new life into that older shell.
Brent, let's talk about how much all this costs. If someone wants to come in and get a brand new pair of boots and go through the whole fitting, what's the range of expenses they're looking at?
I think for a good performance boot, you should expect to spend $750 to $1,000 complete. That's with the modifications and orthotics and all the accessories that you may need to add onto it.
And then if someone wants to bring in an old pair of boots and let's say the shell is fine and you're going to fit the liner, they've just skied more than 150 times on those boots and you think there needs to be a new liner, how much would that be?
New liners run from $225 to about $450. There's a wide variety of selection out there, so there's a wide price range. But generally, the higher the performance of the liner, the higher the cost.
And Brent, before we let you go, I want to remind people why the ski boot is so important to the skiing experience. Share with us, what is the role of a well-fitted boot to a good skiing experience?
Well, first of all, of course, the comfort, right? You have to live in that boot for many hours, but it's the first connection you have with the ski. It's that first point of contact you have with driving that ski. And if there's a bad connection with that boot, your skiing will suffer right away. Professionals, all the ski professionals in town, ski instructors know that that's their most important piece of equipment, and they spend a lot of time getting it just right. And they try to pass that along to the tourists and the customers that come into town. And as a boot fitter, we try to get that across to people as well, that your boot is your number one piece of equipment because it is that first connection.
And Brent, you're with Park City Ski Boot at 1100 Iron Horse Drive. You've been doing this almost 30 years. What's the number one mistake you see people making with their boots?
They buy them too big. Oh. They go to the parking lot sale or a Labor Day sale. There's not a lot of service there. And you get a question of what's your shoe size? And your shoe size is not your ski boot size. And we see that every year and year out. The boots are just too big.
Before we let you go, anything you want to add?
Let's hope it snows.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of people with new equipment out there that want to have some fun, but...
Great. Okay. Well, thanks for joining us. Our guest this morning has been Brent Amsbury with Park City Ski Boot at 1100 Iron Horse Drive. Brent, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Brent.
Thank you.
And stay tuned. Up next is Jack Rubin. He's the Vice President and Member of Board of Directors of the Park Meadows Country Club.
Hi, this is Steve Roney, owner of Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties. I'm a proud resident of Park City and a loyal supporter of KPCW and all it does for our community. Our agents in Summit and Wasatch counties can be reached at any of our 30 offices or at our website, bhhsutah.com.
Mountain Money on KPCW is sponsored in part by Columbus Pacific Properties, introducing Apex Residences, 63 ski-through community residences located at Park City's expanded Canyon Village, with clubhouse amenities, heated outdoor pool, and in-house concierge. Information at apexparkcity.com.
Welcome back to Mountain Money. The time is 9:45. It's Monday, January 8th, and our final guest today is Jack Rubin, Vice President of the Board of Directors at Park Meadows Country Club. Welcome, Jack. You're here to talk about some shiny new things out there.
Renee, thanks for having me. Really appreciate the opportunity to tell you what's going on over at Park Meadows.
A remodel? Is that what you've just done?
Yeah, we cut the ribbon just a little bit ago in early December on a multi-million dollar renovation of the clubhouse, sort of gutted it. It was built in 1994 and had a little deferred maintenance, that might be kind, and we took advantage of the opportunity to sort of update things and really bring us into the next century. And the place is bright and shiny and good fun.
Now, I'm from back east, where a lot of people belong to country clubs, but every time I go home to visit, my father bemoans the fact that fewer and fewer people are joining country clubs, and he always reminds me of Country Club X that might be going under, or Country Club Y that's now turning into a real estate development. How is Park Meadows Country Club surviving and thriving during the time when country clubs really aren't doing that well?
Well, you gotta pay attention to your audience. And we've changed the club, and we are thriving. Our membership is growing. We keep adding new members, and this new renovation's actually helped us with social members, those that don't have an interest in golf. I'm a golfer, so I don't quite understand that, but that's we've got a fabulous dining room, a gym, a golf simulator, great locker room facilities, other stuff. But more importantly, when I think of what you're talking about, and I'm from back east too, I'll admit it, Sunday night, mom saying, put on your tie, we're going over to the club, and you go, oh, that's, what's that about? Well, formal dining is really a thing of the past. What people want is informal dining. We've reworked our bar. We have a bar scene where we can actually dine in there. We've reoriented it. It's got a fabulous view of the Wasatch back. You can see all the way from Baldy over to Pinecone Ridge. It's probably the best view of any dining facility in the area. And we've got a great chef. Alex Woodside came to us last year. He's an unbelievable presenter of a variety of cuisines. So we've kind of made it, I hate to use the word hip. Hip's not quite right. Hmm. But it's a fun place. It's like people want to have fun.
It's a fun place. It's also fairly innovative. I have some friends, as we mentioned before we got on air, that golf at Park Meadows and love it. One of the things my friends have told me about is a relationship with the Stein Erickson Lodge that you guys formed a couple years ago, and I know it's morphed during that period of time, but tell us what that relationship is with Stein Erickson and why it's a good match.
Yeah, what we've tried to do is to build the club into a 12-month club. So here we are in the Wasatch, and golf is really kind of a May to October thing this year. Unfortunately, we were able to play into November. That's sort of what that is. So in the wintertime, we've got an affiliation with a on-the-mountain facility. The residence is at Stein's, and we've got a locker room over there. So you can leave your skis and boots. We've got a facility where we can have breakfast on the hill. And it's a terrific thing. We've got a fellow who's our ski meister, so we have groups twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. You may see a horde of folks in blue jackets. We've got sort of, I hate to call it a uniform, but we got jackets made with our logos on it. And on Tuesdays, we're typically at over at Deer Valley. Thursdays is a little more aggressive ski group, and they'll go wherever the snow is good, across the Wasatch back or up to Ogden. Mm. We're a 12-month facility, and we're trying to find ways that will attract our and engage our membership.
How have you seen the membership change over the years?
Well, I was sort of proud of the fact, being an old duffer myself, the average age of the club is, I'm right around there, early 60s. Last year, we had a number of new members come in, and our average new member age is actually 52 for 2017. So we're going in the right direction. We've Park City being a home for a lot of people like myself and other retirees, we have people that join there, but it's a vibrant community in and of itself, and we're finding a way to attract young families. And to that end, sort of segue into what our next phase of our renovation is doing the redoing our pool and the landscaping out the back door of our club. We had a pool that frankly reminded me of something I probably went into as a kid in a motel, on a family trip, and we've destroyed that. We've demoed it, and we've got a group together led by a fellow named Steve Maxwell, who's had some unbelievably creative ideas, and we're by the 4th of July this coming year, this summer, we'll have what will look to most people like a resort pool. It's going to look very much like something you'd see at a Ritz or a Marriott or an Omni. We're redoing the landscaping. It's going to be quite attractive. So yeah. we've invested a fair amount in sort of upgrading and trying to find a way to attract families as well.
Yeah, you know, the pool's an important amenity for the non-golfers and for the golfers alike. As is tennis. Do you guys have tennis courts there? Is that a big part of the membership as well?
No, we don't have tennis, but we're in the process of installing pickleball.
Which is huge.
The latest craze. I haven't been inoculated yet, but I hear that it's addictive. So we're going to put a couple of pickleball courts in as well as some other facilities that will provide some athletic input for or opportunities for input for non-golfers as well.
Now, this renovation you just finished, Big D Construction did that?
Yeah, that's correct.
And how did you decide on the design? How did you decide on who was going to build it? Talk us through that process.
There was a clubhouse planning committee. As you know, design by committee is a difficult thing. And we needed a strong leader, and Dave Robinson was our fellow member of the board who led that effort and did an unbelievable job. Scooter sort of took it from stem to stern, no detail too big or too small. One of the rules of being on a board at a club, if you bat about 52%, you're a winner. Not everybody is always going to be happy, and we understand that. I think the overwhelming impression with the new clubhouse is we've far exceeded that that goal.
And how did you pay for it? Did you have to do an assessment for all the members?
Yeah, we did a little assessment, not too big, and we borrowed some money. We Zions Bank was very kind to us and provided financing, and it's one of these things. It's not unlike Stanton with Silver Mountain. You know, you invest money and you hope to attract members, and we have. Our membership is growing, and that helps amortize our debt at an accelerating pace. So the club's actually in fine financial footing.
You know, Jack, I'm glad you mentioned that. One of the questions I asked Stanton is, you know, in his business, it's one of the few businesses that municipal governments compete with, the fitness space. As is also true with the golf clubs, country clubs. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, the Muni is a terrific track, and there's a lot of really good public access golf here in the Wasatch. I've played golf since I was in short pants, you know, just a little guy, and there's a big difference between public access golf and country club golf, you know, for better or for worse. And we have 10-minute tee times, and we typically play in 3.5 hours. Most of the golfers at a country club are accomplished golfers of some degree, and accomplished is usually measured with your wristwatch. You know, so the pace of play is pretty good. I love the tracks around here, and I've played other private clubs as well as the public access golf. And how many guys do you know that have gone to Pebble Beach? They go breathtaking, both in the view and the fact that it took 6 hours to get around. That's not the case. You know, people that join a country club expect to be able to get around in a reasonably expeditious way. As my wife likes to say, you know, golf's odd. Guys can't wait to get on the course, can't wait to get off the course.
Oh, good observation.
Yeah, so there's a difference. And for those who want to, you know, there's value for what you get if that's what you're looking for.
So someone's listening to you talk about Park Meadows Country Club and they're interested in becoming a member. What do they have to do?
Well, give us a buzz. We're very proud of our new facility. And if you want to be a member or not, we don't care. Come by. Damon Rogers is our general manager. Terrific guy. Josh Carr is our membership director. Just look us up and give us a call. We'd love to tour you through the facility. It's a beautiful place. And if you find it interesting, you know, we've got some things that you might find attractive in terms of membership opportunities. We're not quite full, but we're getting close, and love to have you take a look.
And just for people that are listening, you know, if somebody's new to golf, you know, golf takes a lot of time. You mentioned your wristwatch earlier. You retire, you find yourself, you have more time. Do you need to be a great golfer to join the country club?
Absolutely not. We've got a wonderful pro staff. Michael Manning is our head pro. He's got a whole team of guys that can help you with instruction both on the range, on the course. We also have a golf simulator, so in the wintertime, you can go in there and take instruction as well or practice your game. And what we find is that a lot of people come to Park City as retirees. The husband may have had a little bit more golf experience than the wife. That was the case in my family as well. There are plenty of opportunities for women to play, which is very important, both 9-holers, 18-holers. We have a group of women that are perhaps more social or new to the game that play 3 holes at a time. So there's all kinds of opportunities to get on the on-ramp for what we think is a pretty fun game.
Do you have a women's league that has a specific tee time and a certain day?
Women's Day is Wednesday. There are 2 teams. There's an A team and a B team that play other clubs around the area. There are plenty of opportunities to get involved.
And your relationship with the Stein Residences, with the change in ownership at Deer Valley, does that affect that partnership at all?
No. It's effectively an HOA up there, and we've signed a 5-year deal with them. So, you know, if we behave ourselves and they behave themselves, we'll have that for a good period of time. You know, we've got something they want, which is golf rounds. They're able to use our golf course in the summertime when we're able to use their facilities in the wintertime. It's a symbiotic relationship that's very positive.
Very appealing to have your own locker on mountain like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Does that come with a Deer Valley ski pass as well?
No, that's independent. And we've got parking up there, which is actually perhaps the most scarce resource. On Tuesdays, our whole club is able to park there underground. And for a fee, you can get a locker and a permanent parking space up there anytime you want to go up.
All right, great. Well, thank you for joining us. Our guest has been Jack Rubin. He is the vice president of the board of directors at the Park Meadows Country Club.
Thank you guys very much. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jack.
And stay tuned to Mountain Money. We'll be back in a minute to wrap up.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided in part by Long Reimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, LRW-Law.com, Fred Marshall Painting, painting Park City's home since 1974, FredMarshallPainting.com, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.
Welcome back to Mountain Money. The time is 9:58. We have a couple of minutes before we wrap up here, Doug, and you wanted to talk about the new tax law.
Yeah, I just wanted to share it was a very busy year end. I'm sure many of our listeners got calls from their accountants or advisors saying, hey, the tax law did pass. It was signed with just a little over a week to go on the year end. So year end's typically a busy time in our industry, and this was the busiest in the 15 plus years I've been in the business.
And I had a chat last Friday with a local accountant, Chip Higgins. Chip, thank you for listening. Thanks for calling in. He wanted to make sure our listeners knew, it's kind of a moot point right now, but prepaying your property taxes for 2018 and 2017 was something the IRS came out on December 27th and said you cannot do unless you have something from the taxing authority saying exactly what that 2018 tax would be.
It's called being assessed. Now, a lot of professionals think the IRS is going to be challenged on that. And there's no penalty if you're prepaid. You're okay. And hopefully, you will be able to deduct that. But that's still in question. It looks like the IRS is going to fight that pretty hard. Renee, we should also thank our great sponsors for Mountain Money. We couldn't do this show without our sponsors, and we're very appreciative of them. They include Mountain West Bank, Vicasa, Park City Chamber Bureau, Jones Waldo, Holbrook and McDonough, Columbus Pacific Properties with Viridian and Apex Residences, San Francisco Design, Park City Mountain, and Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties.
And our lineup of guests, starting with Jesse Meekum, the author of You Need a Budget, The Proven System for Breaking the Paycheck to Paycheck Cycle. Great conversation with him. Then we had Stanton Jones, owner of Silver Mountain Sports Club. They're kicking off a New Year, New You program. He gave us the details on that. Then Brent Amsbury with Park City Ski Boot, talking all about how important it is to have that well-fitting boot. And then finally, Jack Rubin, Vice President of the Board of Directors of Park Meadows Country Club. They just did a big renovation out there. It was fun talking to him about what that looks like and their plans to redo their pool. So there's going to be a phase 2 coming up.
Yeah, a lot going on there. And I just want to wrap up with the ski boots. This is a ski town. And the ski boot is just so important to the skiing experience. And I'm really glad that we had Brent in to tell us more about that.
Yeah, that foot-to-ski connection is really important. Doug, thanks. It's been a great show. Thanks to our producer, Bob Hendricks. We're coming up on NPR News. That's going to start in about 5 seconds. We will be back next Monday, even though it's MLK Day. We'll talk to you then.